Cerise Ap Thomas, Kingmaker. In 1480, financial circumstances forced the Carew family to mortgage the castle, and Cerise Ap Thomas became the new owner. He was from a wealthy and powerful Carmarthenshire family who supported the House of Lancaster throughout the Wars of the Roses, which had raged for the previous 40 years. In 1483, a new Yorkist king, Richard III, came to the throne. He was worried that his distant cousin, the Lancastrian Henry Tudor, who had been born in Pembroke Castle and who was in exile in Brittany, would invade through Pembrokeshire and try to seize the English throne with the help of Cerise Ap Thomas from Carew. With this in mind, Richard sent a letter to Cerise at Carew, demanding that he send his son to London, where he would be cared for at court, or effectively kept hostage for Cerise Ap Thomas's good behaviour. Bravely, Cerise sent a reply to the king, saying that he would not send his son to court because he was only 4 years old and should be with his mother. However, Cerise pledged, "Whoever ill affected to the state shall dare to land in those parts of Wales where I have any employment under your majesty, must resolve with himself to make his entrance and eruption over my belly." This implied an invasion would only happen over his dead body. King Richard III had to make do with that oath. 2 years later, in 1485, the very thing the king had dreaded came to pass. Henry Tudor landed with two ships full of French soldiers at Mill Bay, close to Dale, in the far west of Pembrokeshire. Legend has it that Cerise went to Mullock Bridge at Dale and lay down in the water underneath the bridge as Henry marched into the country, literally over his belly. So, strictly speaking, Cerise did indeed keep his oath to Richard, but in actual fact supported Henry instead. Cerise Ap Thomas then marched northeast through Wales, recruiting at least 500 men on his way, and played a key role in Henry's victory over Richard at the Battle of Bosworth on August the 22nd, 1485. Some say Cerise was the man responsible for dealing the fatal blow to Richard. When Richard's skeleton was examined at Leicester after exhumation from a car park, they discovered a huge injury to the skull, said to be the fatal blow. This had been made by a halberd, a sort of axe-headed spear. Cerise Ap Thomas apparently favoured the halberd as his weapon. Later, when news of the battle was circulating the country, in those days there were, of course, no printed newspapers, so that bards went from place to place relaying the news, a verse was written by a contemporary poet, Gitor Glyn, which said essentially that the raven, heraldic symbol of Cerise Ap Thomas, had shaved the head of the boar, i.e. that it killed him. The white boar was Richard III's personal emblem. Dr. Susan Fern has written a book called The Man Who Killed Richard III, explaining why she is convinced it was Cerise. For his help in the victory, Henry knighted Cerise on the day following the Battle of Bosworth, and also promoted him to become Chief Justice and Chamberlain of South Wales. In 1506, he was made a Knight of the Garter. From here, you can carry on to the lady's sola. A sola is a sort of sitting room, somewhere for the castle family to have privacy, away from the so-called common people. It has its own garderobe. On the northern end wall are a number of holes which look as if they might have held joists. Some would have done, but many are in fact putlogs. At the time the castle was built, there was of course no steel scaffolding. In order to build a high wall, they started by building to the level they could heave stones to. Then they put great wooden poles at intervals along the wall's top and made a wooden frame and platform on which they could climb. Then they continued to build until they needed to put more wooden poles in. When the building was finished, they simply pulled the poles out and left the putlogs, the holes, behind. Just in case alterations needed to be made later on, these holes were not always filled in. Above us, you can see where the roof would have been, and round the outside of the wall, you see a guard walk, where soldiers could patrol and check for danger across the surrounding countryside. Originally, this guard walk went all round the castle at roof level, but subsequent changes in Tudor and Elizabethan times got rid of much of it. From the southeast window, you look out towards Carew Cheriton Church, where Sir Nicholas de Carew's tomb is.